About anything but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 1, beginning at verse 15. Then Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, gave this order to the Hebrew midwives, Shipra and Puah. When you help the Hebrew women as they give birth, watch as they deliver. If the baby is a boy, kill him. If it is a girl, let her live. But because the midwives feared God, they refused to obey the king's orders. They allowed the boys to live too. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives. "Why have you done this?" he demanded. "Why have you allowed the boys to live?" "The Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women," the midwives replied. "They are more vigorous and have their babies so quickly that they cannot get there in time." So God was good to the midwives, and the Israelites continued to multiply, growing more and more powerful. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families of their own. Then Pharaoh gave this order to all his people. "Throw every newborn Hebrew boy into the Nile River, but you may let the girls live." Verses 15 through 22, Exodus chapter 1. Then looking in the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 6, picking up at verse 10. A final word: be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor, so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. And pray for me, too. Ask God to give me the right words so I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan that the good news is for Jews and Gentiles alike. I'm in chains now, still preaching this message as God's ambassador. So pray that I will keep on speaking boldly for him as I should. Verses 10 through 20, Ephesians chapter 6. Lord, thank you for the wonderful gift of eternal life. Thank you for the privilege of knowing you and being able to walk with you each and every day. Thank you, Lord, for the fact that, again, you've called us out of the world and into a new relationship with you and one another. And you've blessed us to be a part of your family, the church, the body of Christ in the world. And Lord, thank you, Lord, also for the fact that you've called us to both share the gospel, to go and make disciples, and you called us to stand for life. Lord, we thank you for the example of these two precious women, Shipra and Puah, who stood as courageous role models for believers of all time to stand for what they know to be true, to recognize that life is from your hand, and we're to do our part to be your vessels to stand for life and never cooperate with wickedness or evil. Stir us, teach us as the church how to war effectively so that we can bring to an end the tragedy of abortion in our culture and in our world. And help us to know, Lord, that every act of obedience makes a difference. Every act of courageously following you, you will use it for your glory in the building of your kingdom. Help us to be faithful where you've planted each and every one of us. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Isaac Jackson. Isaac is going to pray for us at this time.
Hey, love, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, I ask that you'd speak today, that you'd speak through this broadcast, that you'd speak directly to us, Father. We're open, we're available, and we're listening. Father, I ask for wisdom for us, that we could see your truth, that we wouldn't be fools and talk down to your word, but Father, I ask that we would pursue your face and that we'd seek your wisdom. We'd seek the realities of your love, Father. We need more truth. We need more of your word, Father. We really do. Father, I also ask for this broadcast, that this wouldn't be just something that people turn a switch off and like scoff at, but that we would pursue compassion, that we'd pursue love, that we'd pursue redemption and healing, and get to work, Father. Thank you so much for your love. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. On a pretty regular basis, we're encouraging you to email us to get copies of articles that we do share, with the goal of you getting them as tools, a resource, spiritual growth resource tools that you can use for your own walk with the Lord, as well as tools you can use to help disciple your family, and tools you can forward and share hard copies as well as email to friends, family members, co-workers, church, fellow church members, saved and unsaved individuals as well. We live in a culture that needs lots and lots of insight and truth and to be pointed to the truth. And so please email us. Again, my email, joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. And we're glad to share any and all the articles and blogs that we do share on the broadcast. I want to share one now entitled "The Bible, Life, and Abortion." What exactly does the Bible say about life, standing for life, and the abortion issue? Does it say anything about these issues, or is it silent? Does it tell us anything about God's perspective and thinking about life and the taking of the life of innocent children? Actually, the Word of God has a lot to say about these issues. Do you want to know God's will and thoughts about these matters? Just look in His book. One definition of abortion is the deliberate murder of a child in the womb of its mother. Another definition is the taking of the life of an innocent baby. The following are passages from the Word of God that give us God's counsel, His thoughts, and His will concerning life, abortion, and the taking of innocent life. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 19 through 20. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I've set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life, that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying His voice, and holding fast to Him, for He is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Again, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 19 through 20. Then Exodus chapter 20, verse 13, you shall not murder. Then in Proverbs chapter 24, picking up verse 11, rescue those who are being taken away to death. Hold back those who are stumbling to the slaughter. If you say, behold, we did not know this, does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? Does not he who keeps watch over your soul know it? And will he not repay man according to his work? Again, Proverbs 24, 11 and 12. Proverbs 31, verses 8 and 9. Open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all who are destitute. Open your mouth, judge righteously, defend the rights of the poor and needy. Again, Proverbs 31, 8 and 9. Then Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 31. You shall not worship the Lord your God in that way, for every abominable thing that the Lord hates, they have done for their gods. They even burn their sons and their daughters in the fire to their gods. Again, Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 31. Ezekiel chapter 16, 20 and 21, and you took your sons and daughters, whom you had borne to me, and these you sacrificed to them to be devoured. Were your whoring so small a matter that you slaughtered my children and delivered them up as an offering by fire to them? Again, Ezekiel 16, 20 to 21. Then Psalm 106, verses 37 and 38. They sacrificed their sons and their daughters to the demons. They poured out innocent blood. the blood of their sons and daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. Again, Psalm 106, verses 37 and 38. Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 35. They built the high places of Baal in the valley of the son of Hinnom to offer up their sons and daughters to Molech, though I did not command them, nor did it enter into my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin. Again, Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 35. And then finally, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In Exodus chapter 1, verses 15 to 22, and Matthew chapter 2, verses 16 through 18, God's word tells us of two governmental leaders, two kings who for sad, cruel, and selfish reasons gave orders to slaughter innocent little boys. By their power and authority, their orders were carried out. Tragically, we still have governmental leaders who continue to approve of killing innocent babies in the womb. This is not an exhaustive listing of the scriptures that speak to the issue of life, standing up for life and standing against abortion. These are just a few, but they're enough to help you see what God clearly thinks about the issues concerning life. What should be our response to the insights God's word gives us of his will, his perspective, and his thoughts on these issues? A wise and correct response on the part of believers and the church is that we get passionately involved in aggressively standing for life. What can believers do to walk out a passion and commitment to the cause of life? Here are a few ways to get involved. Number one, find your local pregnancy center and volunteer your time to help in their ministry. Give financially to one or more local pregnancy centers. Pray for the ministry of pregnancy centers. Inquire about the possibility of your church putting the local pregnancy center into its church budget. Number two, take the time and effort to research and learn about active pro-life ministries that are doing significant work to stand for life, to save babies, and to help end legalized abortion. And number three, educate yourself about every facet of the issues surrounding life and abortion. Sadly, there's much ignorance, apathy, and misinformation about the life issue and about abortion. Great is the need for the church to become educated spiritually and otherwise about this issue and get involved. Your help is greatly needed in this battle, and every day counts. Can God count on you? Again, the title of that article is The Bible, Life, and Abortion. And if you'd like to get a copy, simply email us at joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. And we'll be glad to share it with you. And our encouragement is that you please do email us to get a copy, because the reality is it is so important that we know the heart and the mind of our Heavenly Father about this issue, which is huge in the news and in our culture today. It's very important for us to stand on the Word of God. We are very blessed and honored to have as our phone guest today Dr. Ingrid Scott. She's a pro-life OBGYN physician and a pro-life warrior as well. Dr. Scott, how are you today?
I'm doing great. I'm so glad to be with you, Pastor Joseph.
An honor to have you on today. And, you know, there are a number of different topics, obviously, as both a pro-life doctor as well as someone who's been involved with this cause for the time that you have been. So we really do appreciate you being with us today. And we're coming up on a break, but on the other side, I'm going to ask if you'll further introduce yourself, and then we want to dive right in and share about some things that are on your heart and ways in which you'd like to encourage the church to do so much more to be God's hands and feet to help address the life issue, to boldly stand for life. And like I like to often talk about Shipper and Pua, those that we read about there in Exodus 1, great role models for the church for all times under all circumstances, because to faithfully follow Christ, it's important that we do it courageously. So we'll invite you to further introduce yourself on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our phone guest today is Dr. Ingrid Scott, a pro-life OBGYN physician and a pro-life warrior. We'll be right back. Thank you.
Have you ever watched a sunrise and felt you could not breathe? What if it's him? What if it's God speaking? Have you ever cried a tear that you could not explain? Have you ever met a stranger who already knew your name? What if it's him? What if it's God speaking?
Music of Mandisa with God Speaking. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Again, we're grateful to have with us as our phone guest, Dr. Ingrid Scott, a pro-life OBGYN and pro-life warrior as well. And so, Dr. Scott, would you take time to further introduce yourself and tell our listeners some about yourself? And then we want to dive into some specific topics about related to the life issue.
Sure. Thank you, Pastor Joseph. I have been a practicing obstetrician-gynecologist in Texas for over 30 years. I was in private practice for about 25 years. And a couple of years ago, the Lord intervened to bring me to the Charlotte Lozier Institute, which is the premier think tank that addresses science and statistics on life issues. I'm so motivated because I recognize that the American public do not understand the issue of abortion. And sadly, the American church does not understand the issue in many cases. Recent surveys documented that more than half of the women who have abortions identify as Christians, and that 44% of Christians feel that the Bible is ambiguous about abortion. But of course, in the introduction, we discovered that that is not the case. And also, 16% of regular churchgoers have an abortion in their history. And so many times the pastors don't address it. And so these people continue to be injured and sometimes not reconciling with their God over their actions. So I know this is a praying crowd, and I just would encourage you to pray for courage of the church, both to address the issue. It's not a political issue. It's a moral and a spiritual issue, and we all need to be better educated so that we can shed some light on this very difficult subject.
That is so, so true. Would you take time now specifically to pray for the church in relation to what you just mentioned, the need to see our need to become further educated about the issue and getting involved in the ways the Lord would have us to? Would you lift the church up in prayer about that, those matters?
I would love to. Thank you. Dear Lord Jesus, we come before you today to bring an issue that we know is dear to your heart. You have lovingly crafted each of us within our mother's womb, and yet in our rebellion, the worst form of rejection, a mother rejecting her unborn child. Just please intervene in our country and worldwide today. Open people's eyes to the issue. Let your Holy Spirit engage people's hearts so that they care. They care about the unborn child and also the harm to his mother, to family, to society. We just see the effects go on and on. Again, just it's not political, Lord Jesus. It's your heart. And so we just ask that you show us best how to spread your will in this world regarding this difficult situation. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. You mentioned that you're a part of the Charlotte Lozier Institute, did you say?
Yes, sir. I'm the Vice President and Director of Medical Affairs. And for those who are not familiar, Lozier, L-O-Z-I-E-R, Institute.org is our website. We have papers ranging from straightforward fact sheets to deep dives to peer-reviewed literature addressing almost any topic related to abortion and some of the lies that we're hearing these days, maternal mortality, life of the mother issues. We've really tried to get into what the data really says to explain it to the American people. Many people don't understand that in the United States, there is almost nothing about abortion data collection that is mandatory. And so the abortion industry drives the narrative. They publish poor quality studies. The mainstream media, of course, promotes abortion and picks it up. And so the American people have been gaslighted about the issue of abortion. Particularly, we all know it ends an unborn human life, which is a tragedy. But, you know, our hearts have gotten so hard that there are many people who will acknowledge that and say, yes, it kills the baby, but the baby's life doesn't matter, and the woman needs abortion. And this is very lazy thinking. Women don't need abortion. They need support when they find themselves in a crisis pregnancy. And so, you know, as you mentioned, the pregnancy resource centers, about 3,000 exist in our country, and these are excellent forms of support for women to help them empower and encourage them to give birth to their children, which is what most of them want to do.
Mm. You know, the support that surrounds the woman who finds herself expecting a baby at a difficult time makes all the difference in the world in so many instances. I want to ask if you'll comment on this. My wife and I have the privilege of being a part of a pregnancy ministry that serves in the Mississippi Delta, and recently, I was talking to the staff, and they shared of an instance a young woman who'd come and seemed to be very much abortion minded. But once she had the ultrasound, she was surprised at being only 10 weeks, but how active her little baby was on the ultrasound. And it seemed that by the time she was done seeing the baby on the ultrasound, she seemed like she really had decided she was going to keep her baby. Then, sadly, she got a phone call from her boyfriend who let her know he would not support her. And it looked like she was close back to the same place where she was. And what a tragedy when you have men that are not standing up to be real men. Real men will support their children, will support their families. But sadly, you have many young men who aren't acting like men today. They're acting like wimps, to be quite honest. Real men will take care of their own. But would you share your thoughts about a scenario such as that?
Yeah, I think that is absolutely a very common driver of abortion. And we see that this whole issue has been cloaked in euphemisms. And I think one of the most damaging ones is that this is a woman's choice, a woman's autonomy. Obviously, it took two individuals to create that child. And so many men, like you describe, maybe they're even inclined to want to raise the child, and yet they will back off and say, well, it's your choice. And the women don't feel supported. They don't think that the man wants to, parent the child with them. And so it may be the case that whereas both of the members of the couple, if they really recognized what they wanted, they would move forward, they would get married, they would bear this child, so often they fall into this false choice of abortion. It'll end the pregnancy, of course. They'll think that whatever their difficult situation is resolved. But of course, that does not resolve a difficult situation. If they're in poverty, they remain in poverty. If they have mental health illnesses, they remain with those. So it does not address the real issues in our country that need to be addressed. It merely suggest a very inadequate solution. And women don't get over this easily. Many, many, many women, of course, feel regret. Mental health complications are frequent. In fact, high-quality European studies tell us a woman is 6 times as likely to suicide in the year following an abortion than if she had given birth to her child. And we've all seen how single mothers raising children in poverty have increased dramatically from 11% prior to Roe to about 40% now. Sadly, it's almost 70% in the Black population. And so all of the effects on these children and society at large are consequences of this decision to offer abortion as a solution to problems rather than addressing the problems in the way they should be addressed.
Well, you know, Dr. Scott, you alluded to this earlier, though, but so much of the solution is found in the church being who we're called by God to be and carrying out the commission and commissions that God has called us to carry out too. Would you pray for pastors and for the church as a whole to become much more courageous about just boldly obeying God and carrying out the work he's called us to in the church and speaking truth, encouraging young people, get married before you get involved sexually, encouraging them to know that abortion is never the right option because God's word clearly says you shall not murder. But would you pray just for the church to be the bold, obedient church God has called us to be?
Yeah, absolutely. Dear Lord Jesus, just reach your Holy Spirit into the church today, the Christians who want to follow you. Sometimes we do it inadequately, but just empower us to work harder and to dig deeper into your word, to know what your word says about your plans for men and women, about your plans for the covenantal marriage relationship, and about the blessing that you tell those children that are created through marriage are to us. And just help to change all of our attitudes. Make us brave, make us courageous, and just make us the light that you have called us to be to a very increasingly dark culture, to show what your plans for men, women, and children and families are. In your name, amen.
Amen. And Father, too, thank you for the fact that you've called us as your church to be your hands and feet in the world that needs to know what your love, your compassion, and your grace looks like. Lord, more and more, raise up bold pastors that are bold and courageous enough to speak the truth in love from the pulpit and otherwise, and helping people to know what your word clearly says about these issues, teaching truths as found in the Ten Commandments, teaching truths that, amongst other things, that you call us to choose life. Help us to be bold enough just to let it be known that there's never a time in which abortion is right under any circumstances. Help us to know, Lord, that people need to hear your truth, and it's your truth that sets them free. Help the church to be the church you called us to be. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. Well, Dr. Scott, you mentioned, now tell me again, I heard the percentage. Would you share again the percentage you said that the numbers of women that have abortion in their background, the percentage?
Well, it's estimated overall that 1 out of 4 American women and 1 out of 5 American men have an abortion in their background. But specifically in the church, in regular churchgoers, that number is 16%, about 1 out of 7. Who've suffered an abortion as well.
Mm. That's a huge statistic. That's a lot of people, and many people whose lives have been touched and sadly so often scarred in some form or another because of the tragedy of abortion as well. What would you share with our listeners? You know, big in the news in many different respects is the whole reality of chemical abortion and the abortion pill. Would you share some insight and thoughts on your mind related to chemical abortion?
Yeah, absolutely. So this is really the way that the abortion industry is attempting to have continued widespread abortion, even though, thank God, after the Dobbs decision, almost half of the states are protecting unborn lives, but they're using it to circumvent state laws in many cases. And in fact, these have been promoted for over 20 years because the abortion industry was unable to find enough doctors that were willing to kill their second patient. Even though, unfortunately, the medical pro-abortion industry says that this is essential reproductive health care, the reality is that approximately 90% of obstetricians will not do an elective abortion. So this was a way to circumvent that. It's a terrible experience. It's two drugs Mifepristone blocks progesterone, so it cuts off the hormonal support and kills the unborn child, followed about 24 hours later by mesoprostol that induces contractions. So the woman essentially goes into labor to deliver her dead baby and the pregnancy tissue. They bleed several weeks, usually heavily. About half of the women describe the pain as severe. Again, it's labor. And so many of these women will see their aborted child. So what an awful experience for these women. Four times as many complications as compared to surgical abortions, and yet the abortion industry promotes it, tells women it's safer than Tylenol. And the FDA has been complicit. They approved this drug in the year 2000 under accelerated approval regulations to try to rush it through in the remaining days of President Clinton's administration. They broke their own rules to do so. And over time, they have removed, time after time, they've removed critical safeguards on these drugs. Using the COVID pandemic as an excuse, in 2021, they said that it no longer needs to be prescribed in person. This is allowing these drugs to be ordered by telemedicine or online without any testing, without online, as you can imagine. No one's looking the person in the eye to know who's even ordering these drugs. Is it a coercive man or a sex trafficker? Or is it a woman who truly wants an abortion? We know that complications are high, even under the FDA's prior protocols. About one out of five women go to an emergency room following these drugs.
Dr. Scott, I'm going to have to jump in right here. We're going to pick up right there on the other side of this break. Our phone guest today is Dr. Ingrid Scott. She's a pro-life OBGYN physician and pro-life warrior. We'll be right back.
Do it all you can do. With one word, the mountains move. When you breathe, the dead arise, and the bones come back to life. There is power in this room, where the Spirit of the Lord is. There's life. When the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom, like a river running wild, like a never-ending fire. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, it's your name that tears down walls, and every
music from Life Church Worship with Where the Spirit of the Lord Is. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Dr. Ingrid Scott. She's a vice president with the Charlotte Lozier Institute, and she's a pro-life OBGYN as well. Dr. Scott, if you'll pick up where you left off there coming into the break.
Yeah, sure. Thank you. So I'm going to back up just a second, because I think that sometimes people get abortion drugs confused with emergency contraception. Plan B is something that you'll often hear about. Mm-hmm. Plan B attempts to, it's high-dose hormones taken after intercourse that attempts to prevent fertilization, usually by delaying the release of the egg. It doesn't work all that well, but it's not necessarily causing an abortion. It's just trying to prevent that human life from coming into existence. But these drugs are given once that life is known to exist. They're currently allowed to be used up to 10 weeks gestation. And as I was mentioning before the break, though, the FDA has removed the requirement for any kind of pre-abortion testing. So they're asking women to estimate how far along they are. And many women are incorrect. If they're in the second trimester, we know that 4 out of 10 times that abortion fails. A tissue is left behind and it requires surgery. So it becomes much, much more complicated when it's used too far along. Additionally, no one is doing an ultrasound to make sure the woman does not have a pregnancy in her tube. And there have been documented cases of women dying because these drugs will not resolve that type of a pregnancy. The tube can rupture and they can bleed to death. I mentioned that we don't know who's ordering the drugs. We don't know if it's a coercive man. Other labs aren't being done to protect women from, you know, other infection testing or to check their blood type to see if they need Rogam, various things like that. So it's really just a wide open, totally medically unsupervised process that the FDA has allowed to happen. There's a lawsuit that was recently heard by the Supreme Court attempting to not take the drugs off the market, but just to require the FDA to put safeguards back in place, which I think anybody should recognize as a common sense thing to do. Since this is a praying audience, I would request prayer because the Supreme Court needs courage to take this case. It seems that they might be tempted to try to avoid another ruling on another abortion case because they were beaten up so badly the last time they did. By not finding that the doctors who brought the case have standing to bring it. So that's something to keep an eye on. There is something good I want to tell you about abortion drugs. As I mentioned, mifepristone blocks progesterone receptors. It's not uncommon for women to take that pill and regret it immediately. Mm-hmm. Maybe they were coerced. Maybe they were indecisive or felt pressured to take the pill. If they change their mind quickly, there is an abortion pill reversal hotline they can contact to find a doctor who will prescribe high-dose progesterone. So that can outweigh the progesterone that is, or the mifepristone that is blocking the progesterone receptors so that the pregnancy can continue to live. So that is something that is very physiologically plausible, evidence-based. But we've seen that so many organizations that call themselves pro-choice really are not pro-choice. They're only pro-abortion because there has been a lot of resistance to that. And some states like California and Colorado have even made it illegal for doctors to prescribe that intervention. So, but it can be reversed, and many babies are alive today that would not be because of that.
Mm. You know, Dr. Scott, you've covered quite a few different topics that are really important topics and issues for believers to become aware of or to become educated about. And, you know, on the one hand, some might think, well, this makes the topic a kind of a complicated one. Well, not really. But the fact is, it's important to understand that, sadly, many on the wrong side of this issue, not only are they highly educated about what they're trying to do, but they're very motivated. And the fact is, we in the kingdom of God have the greatest reason to stand for life and to become educated to know what to do, because we're standing on God's truth and on God's word, and we're working for the King of Kings. So would you pray for the church to make it a high priority to educate themselves about these issues and then get involved?
Yes, dear Lord Jesus, we just ask that you send your Holy Spirit to the church to encourage the church to look into this issue, to educate themselves, to be brave enough to address the issue with their friends, their coworkers, even their pastors. Just, we recognize this is not a political issue, and this is not going to be won politically. This is a heart issue. This is a spiritual issue, and it is only going to be won if the church becomes engaged and begins to speak your word to the American public about the value and dignity of unborn human life, and about the your desire that these children be allowed to live. And you know, there's so much, Lord Jesus, but you know, we don't know, but you know what needs to be done. So just show us your will on this issue. Amen.
And Father, I too thank you and I praise you for the privilege you give us as your people, the church, to be involved, to be in the right place at the right time, to really help to love these precious women who find themselves expecting a baby at a tough time, but also to encourage the women, the men, the families to do the right thing. Father, more and more move upon families to recognize that we're to love these women, whether it's their teenage daughter, whoever else it might be, that child in the womb is made by the hand of God. and deserves the opportunity to live. Help us, Lord, more and more to courageously and in love be the church you've called us to be, to courageously do our homework, to learn more about these issues, and then do all that you're calling us to do to be your vessels of compassion in this world. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Dr. Scott, would you, in view of a number of the things you shared, amongst other things, it does appear that in some ways the governmental entities that are trying to lift these restrictions on the abortion pill, for example, that sounds so irresponsible. What are your thoughts? Do you have further thoughts to share about that?
Well, I think what we've seen is just really, along with the polarization on so many issues, just an extreme polarization. We have one political party that really is trying to take away any type of supervision. And literally these ballot initiatives that states are addressing will remove the any limitation. So it will allow healthy babies and healthy moms to be aborted very late, anytime in pregnancy. Of course, people say, well, that doesn't happen, but it does. The CDC has documented that it does. And many, many times, I've talked with these women, many times it's because of coercion. The woman's child and the man does not, and 9 months is such a long time to say no to a coercive man. So we've got that extreme that does, and they don't even want to protect babies who might accidentally be born alive after an abortion. They'll allow those to be killed too. So that's a very, you know, as we see, that's child sacrifice. That's very satanically driven. But on the other hand, states that are protecting life are having so much trouble because there is an active campaign to lie about these laws. You've all seen the articles where they say women are hurt, doctors can't intervene in emergencies. That's a lie. Every single law allows a doctor to intervene to separate a mother from her child if it is needed to protect her life or prevent serious injury. Most of the time, that can be done by induction, and most of the time, the baby can live. But even if the baby dies, the state law allows it, and really, that's not even an abortion. An abortion is an action that has the intent to kill that baby. If I deliver a baby prematurely and he passes away, my intent was to protect his mother, not to end his life. So we just need to be aware, and we need to be able to talk to people and explain what the laws actually say, because I think this fear-mongering, and believe me, it has affected doctors. There are doctors that don't understand the law. The fear-mongering has the intent of turning the American public against pro-life laws, against protecting unborn life, and to get back to a situation that would be even worse than we had under Roe v. Wade, in which there were no limitations at all on abortion.
All right. Well, Dr. Scott, our time is almost gone. If someone wants to get more information about the Charlotte Lozier Institute and resource materials that can be obtained through that institution, how can they do that?
Sure. Our website is lozierinstitute.org. And again, there is all sorts of information there that can be printed as a PDF, shared with friends. Please go, please be educated, and please help to educate others, because that's really the only way I think we're going to make a difference, is just for the American public to understand how often it hurts women in addition to killing their children.
All right. And you've encouraged listeners to pray, obviously, for the Supreme Court. And we certainly hope that every listener will take it upon themselves to do just that. How would you ask listeners to pray for the Charlotte Lozier Institute?
Well, thank you for asking that. There's not very many of us, and we're working very, very hard. And sometimes that can be discouraging to feel like you're the lone voice. So just pray for courage for us. Pray for the strength to do what needs to be done, for God to bring more workers into the field, because, of course, this is such a big issue, and we need all the help we can get to spread our message.
All right. Well, thank you so much again, Dr. Scott, for being with us. Lord, we thank you for Dr. Ingrid Scott. Thank you for the people that make up the Charlotte Lozier Institute. Lord, thank you for the many ministries you've raised up out there that are boldly involved in the work of helping to save babies, helping to stand for life, helping to support and love and encourage the mothers, and doing all sorts of things in relation to standing boldly for life. More and more, raise up more ministries that will do just that and help the church to fully support the work of these great ministries that are out there on the front lines to do what you called them to do. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, as we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you're listening today and you know you have never made the eternally important decision of inviting Jesus Christ to come into your heart as Lord and Savior, today is a good day, a great day to be saved and receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you'd like to make that step, would you, from your heart, pray this prayer with me even now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived your life. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be the Lord and Savior of my life. You told us in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, right now, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer, we're wanting to be in touch with you, want to be in communication with you. We'd like to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up, grow strong, and grow deep in your new walk and relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Please email us. My email, joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We definitely want to get that information and those resource materials to you. We hope to hear from you again, joseph@afr.net. Again, Dr. Scott, thank you so much for being with us again. A privilege to have you. Would you share with our listeners one more time, if they want to get in touch with you or the Charlotte Lozier Institute, how they can do that?
Sure. It's lozierinstitute.org. My email address is iskop@lozierinstitute.org.
All right. Please keep up the great work, and thanks for being with us today.
Thank you for this opportunity.
And thank you. Please pray much for the Charlotte Lozier Institute. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.